So this is a podcast, which means for a lot of you, you don't get a chance to see us.
That's why you should follow us on Instagram. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute, all one word.
We post pictures of our travel, behind the scenes of the podcast, and of course, sales wisdom. If you're not on Instagram, we just gave you one great reason to join.
So follow us today, and you might get a shout out on our next Motivation Monday show.
At Gittimer, at Jen in any minute, we'll see you on the gram.
Is gram one of those words that if you're cool, you use gram instead of Instagram?
Now it is. I would say we'll see you on Insta.
Yeah, I would say gram. You say Insta, I say gram.
Really about what you're passionate about. Podcast is a great way to get that out. But you've got to start sharing what you know. Even if you're not sharing what you know, invite people on to come on. I mean, I don't know dick. Half the reason I know anything is because I have a podcast and I invite people like you and Jeffrey who are smarter than me to come on my podcast and talk about intelligent shit. And I just go, yeah, yeah. And then people are like, that Chris Voss is really smart.
Oh, man.
And that's the whole trick right there.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Diehards, Chris Voss is a recognized top 50 social media leader by Forbes magazine. He's also been featured on CNN, Huffington Post, and many more media outlets. Chris is also the CEO for Strategics. Is that how you say it, Chris?
Strategics One.
Okay, Strategic. Oh, my God. Chris is also the CEO for Strategics One Consulting, as is the host of the Chris Voss Show. Diehards, say hello to Chris Voss.
Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! We're glad you're here, Chris.
Am I the 17th caller? Did I win the with Leonard Skinner ticket?
Yes, you did. Front row.
Front row. Woo-hoo!
So, Chris, can you do it like how you do it on your show? Like, Chris Voss?
The Chris Voss Show.com.
I will never stop loving that. That is amazing.
Thank you.
You guys, Jeffrey and I were on Chris's show. We had such a blast. You should definitely go listen to his episode. And now it's our turn to hear from Chris, which I'm really, really excited about. Chris, how did you get into sales?
Well, it all started when I was a male stripper.
So you sold a lot then.
Last year I quit because the thong... I had to start shaving more or something.
Didn't like that.
There were some disagreements with management over thong hair. not sure what that means. But so I had to quit last year male stripping. And get into sales. No, I had to learn sales very early on. When I was a kid, I went to work at a car dealership, and I couldn't sell my way out of a paper bag. It was horrible. And one of the sales managers said, "Look, Chris, we're going to have to fire you, or you need to go buy this book." And, you know, I was a broke kid. I was like, you know, just a kid. And he goes, "Look, I'm going to give you $5 to go buy Zig Ziglar's book. Closing Sales or something like that. Big, thick one. And The Art of Closing Sales, I don't know. This is a Zig Ziglar book."
Yeah.
And he goes, "You go buy this book." He goes, "I know you're living on Top Ramen, but go buy this book with the $5. Because if you
skip your next $16 meals,
you're probably out of a job." So I went home that night and read that book as much as I could and digested it over the next 2 days and saved my life, my business, changed my life with sales.
Because hold on, there are so many people out there right now. They're spreading this like it's like a disease, okay? And then they're saying, "You can't learn anything in a book. Books are useless. Why would I go read a book? Blah, blah, blah." Like, they're anti-books.
reading is hard, eh?
Yeah. But you just said it changed your whole life.
Yeah. And after that, I was really lucky. My father had explored being an entrepreneur and explored being a salesperson. And he had books and records. Records from Earl Nightingale, Napoleon Hill, all these old records that just had all this sales data on it. You know, different presentations like it's the sell the sizzle. You know, this is back in the 60s and the 50s that they had this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I consume like all of my dad's sales stuff and just would apply it to my business and life. And I started my first company at 18 and I've been selling ever since. All, you know, the stripping thing was on the side.
Yeah, of course. It was your side hustle.
Side hustle, yeah. Yeah.
So what was
hustle
that?
Being the key word there.
Punny. So what was your first business?
First business was the construction business. Over the course of my childhood and teenage years, I'd worked with my father at his subcontracting business. I'd help him plaster foundations, stucco work, things of that nature. And so when I was like, I think 17-ish, 18, I was working at Pizza Hut and McDonald's. And it was in the strict state, religious state of Utah. And one of the religious managers there had a real issue with my long hair that was satanic, of course, because
I
was listening to Metallica and Judas Priest and clearly, you know.
Rebel, you.
I started early.
Yeah.
So he fired me one day because I had fooled him for a while, hiding my long hair in a fishnet like women do with their hair.
Yeah.
And so he missed it for a while. He thought he'd won the, "I got Chris to quit being a sinner and cut his hair." So anyway, I got fired for that. And I said, "Well, what am I going to do?" And my dad says, "Well, you know how to plaster the foundations. All you got to do is go sell the contractors that you know what you're doing." And so I was like this 18-year-old kid having to go out to contractors and, you know, plow my wares. And, you know, I had to sell. And it was hard because if you ever sold to contractors, like residential contractors, they're mean people.
Yeah.
They're used to a lot of crap and they don't take any crap. And they were looking at me going, "What's this young, stupid whippersnapper?" And I had to sell them on the fact that I knew my stuff, you know, the fact that I learned the trade from my dad growing up and knew what I was doing. So I basically kind of took over his business that he kind of left behind.
That's cool. There's a lot of young kids who get into businesses where they're selling to people who don't really want to be sold to. And I'll just say that. And so obviously knowledge was a big part of it. You actually knew what you were talking about. But what do you recommend to these people that are getting into new careers or, you know, just joining a company because it's money and not really realizing like what that's going to be about. And then realizing they have to go sell a product and the person they want to sell it to may not be so open to being sold to.
buy y'all of Jeffrey Gittimer's books. Did I get the right answer? Did I win?
Oh, you won the $1 million prize.
It's like a little ching bell that goes when I...
Exactly. I think we have a bell. Do we have a bell? We can't ding him. Oh, we ding on Mondays, but it's not Monday, so we can't ding you. Sorry.
Well, Mondays is kind of a ding anyway. But no, I actually have the his little red book somewhere in my library.
Yeah.
Of books. But, you mentioned earlier about how people don't believe in reading books anymore. You got to prepare. And so that's probably the other thing I'd offer in the answer to your recent question is you got to prepare. And so read the books, do the data. You know, the great thing about books now is you can do an Audible on books. And that's how I read my books now. That's how I consume everything, man. You put that on Audible and play that while you're working out, which I do regularly, of course, as you can tell. At least once a year.
Well, you were just at the gym, I thought, right before this episode.
At the gym.
Yeah.
I think there's one, you know, I don't know who Jim is. Is Jim?
Oh, man.
It's the gym has seen me, but I have not seen it.
Aha. Uh-huh. There we go.
But clearly, anyone who's watching this video is sitting there going, yeah, that guy has been to the gym in 5 years. But no, you've got to prepare. I was gaming with somebody the other day. And I was
gaming?
Like, no, you're really sucking at this mode of gaming that we're doing. And he goes, and I go, you know, we've wasted like an hour and a half of my time trying to get you through this game mode. And I go, have you ever watched the videos or studied, you know, what to do, read up how to do this game mode? He's like, no, I don't want to waste my time. And I'm like, so you're basically wasting everyone else's time and your time, and you're not valuing your time. So I would say whoever is out there, you know, they've got some new, they need to value their time, and being prepared is optimal, especially when you're first joining a company, because that's where you make your first impressions. That's where management promotions can come. And if you're not prepared, if you come across like a moron or an idiot at the beginning, you can really burn a lot of bridges.
So, don't come across as a moron or an idiot.
Yeah, that's pretty much. Don't do like Chris Voss does. Pretty much on a daily
basis. No, you have fun. That's the thing. Like when you're like, the Chris Voss show.
Chris Voss show. It's got to be fun too.
Like you have fun with it, you know, and you can feel it. And that's what your customers need to feel. That's the thing.
Well, that's true. No one likes a boring salesperson. You know, you bring up a good topic.
Wait, likes a boring person.
No one likes a boring person. Yeah, that's true. It's true, too. Unless you're Texas, then you vote for Ted Cruz. I don't know how that works.
Well, we're going to keep the politics out.
I'm not
allowed to talk politics here.
He just seems a little boring.
All right.
Other than that, I'm sure he's a nice fellow.
Usually when they say, like, you're nice, you are boring.
That's probably true.
He's so nice.
I probably should take that off my Tinder profile, huh?
Yeah. Remove
really
that line.
Nice guy.
Yeah, remove that line. That's code word for boring.
That explains why I'm still single.
Everybody, including you, including me, needs a little help. Even if you have trouble admitting it. You know, it doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. It's just that simple. And if your sales needs help, it may be time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy and gamified way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn some new advanced strategies to close the next deal. You know, sales, closing, that's what it's all about. Or creating the atmosphere where the other person wants to buy. We have hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting, you name it. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge anywhere on the planet that you can actually use 1 minute after you learn it. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com today and sign up for a free demo. I love free, and so will you.
All right, I want to dig into something else, which is that you've been named as a top 50 social media leader in business. That's huge.
Yeah. It's
don't get too excited. Wait. Don't get too excited over there.
Yeah, you get a lot of, you know how it is. You get a lot of accolades and you just, after a while, you know, I'm always honored and I feel good, but I try not to make too much of it. Like other than, you know, letting people like you say it when they introduce me.
Like what are some new strategies that you can give our diehards to, like, break through the noise. There's so much noise. There's so many people on. There's millions, some platforms maybe more than that, billions, like, of people. So how do I become known? How do our diehards break through that noise?
Writing books, of course, is a very popular thing, giving speaking and stuff. But you've got to start talking daily about what you're passionate about. Podcast is a great way to get that out. But you've got to start sharing what you know. Even if you're not sharing what you know, invite people on to come on. I mean, I don't know dick. Half the reason I know anything is because I have a podcast and I invite people like you and Jeffrey, who are smarter than me, to come on my podcast and talk about intelligent shit. And I just go, yeah, yeah. And then people are like, that Chris Voss is really smart.
Oh, man.
And that's the whole trick right there. To me, the thing I love about my podcast, the thing I love about social media and this interacting is you can learn so much from people, and you can be adventurous, and you can ask questions about life, and you can learn about stuff. And if you're going to be a salesperson, you've really got to be multifaceted. You've got to be able to sell to the 18-year-old. You've got to be able to sell to the 40-year-old. You know, whoever you're, when you walk into that sales office or make that sales call, you know, for all you know, you could be talking to millennial, you can be talking to baby boomer. You've got to be able to breath the ability to gain rapport with people on all those different ages and levels and cultures and different things that are about people, so that you can get along with them. You know, can you talk to somebody who's, you know, a sick priest, or, you know, someone who's a Jewish rabbi, or can you talk to somebody who's, you know, a millennial? Those, you know, if you can get them to look up from their phone for 5 seconds,
you just put
a priest on Instagram so that you can get to them through the phone.
That's right. I love how you just put a priest, a rabbi, and a millennial all into a room.
Yeah, that's like a new joke thing.
I get it. I guess so. Okay,
priest, a rabbi, and a millennial walk into a room. Which one's not looking at their phone? I don't know.
So, are there specific things people should avoid? Like, besides their pictures of male stripping and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You might want to, you know, a profile picture is really important.
Mm-hmm.
People like look at yours behind you in the Sell or Die podcast.
Yes.
Yours is exciting. I look at that picture and I'm like, when I watch that show, holy crap, these people are motivated. They're exciting. You know,
thanks.
Me and my picture, I think I'm asleep. I'm like,
I doubt it. You're probably being like, the Chris Voss Show.
Yeah. I'm just like, hey, it's your filthy uncle that you see at Thanksgiving and wants too many hugs.
Oh, man.
I always look like a cop, too. I doppelgang for just about every cop in the world, especially if I wear sunglasses. I don't know, someone from the Midwest. But no, I mean, look at your branding, look at your profile photos, look at how you're presenting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Someone did, I have this picture of mine, and I had to finally quit using it because I just got too old, but it was my younger pictures. And I'm like, yeah. And someone wrote a book, I hope they forgive me because I don't remember who it was. It was like 2011. And they said, one of the great things about profile pics is you want it to match your personality. And so your picture there matches your personality, your energy level.
Thanks.
And people said that about me. They said the great thing about Chris's profile photo is it matches his energy, matches kind of who he is. It captures that thing. So I would say look for photos or pictures of yourself. And don't do a staged photo. I mean, don't do a photo where you have a phone in your hand and a calculator or some shit. I hate that crap. You ever see that?
And
they paid a professional to do that.
The new thing now, I wish you guys could see him. And the new thing now is to make a staged photo look unstaged.
Yeah.
So it's like you're like caught by surprise or like, oh, you know, like literally like faking that it's staged.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm just like, you paid for that photo? I mean,
exactly.
It just looks so overdone. So I would say be humanistic, be fun, be interesting. Don't do a photo. The other thing I hate is when I'm on LinkedIn and someone has like that morgue photo, that coroner photo where they're just like
They look like angry almost.
just like, dude, what do? You do coffins for a living or something? What's going on over there, man?
Hey, I did training for a lot of the funeral homes. A big company that owns like, 70 or 80% of the funeral homes in America, and those people are still happy people. I got to tell you,
really?
Yeah,
know,
they don't.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend and blow off. We just
no,
lost.
Because I didn't know the first time I went. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. They have such a depressing job in a sense, you know, but the way they look at it is like they're helping a family and they're all happy about it. I'm like, this is amazing.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's got to be a tough thing to, that's got to be a tough thing to sell too.
Death, life insurance. Yeah, especially pre-sell, like before the person dies.
Yeah,
like one day you're going to die.
Yeah. You need to prepare for it now.
Exactly.
Now.
So tell us about your consulting company.
So we do consulting on a myriad of different forms, social media, entrepreneur, business. I've owned a multitude of companies over the years, corporations since being 18. At one point, we had one corporation was like about 100, 150 employees. And we had multiple corporations running at the same time. I've been through that crazy thing of having, you know, thousands of employees over the years. I kind of miss those days some days, but I don't. But I consult on how to build companies. You know, one of my first really companies we built for $2,000 turned it into a multimillion dollar company. Then we built another one for $4,000, built it into a multimillion dollar company. So a lot of my consulting deals with, you know, teaching people entrepreneurism, teaching people how to be successful. Some of it's social media management. We manage different clients on social media, manage their profiles, manage their output, what they're doing, do different engagements. Like we'll do giveaways and promotions with company. AT&T is one of the companies I've been working with since like 2011. We get all the phones, review them. So there's a lot of product review that we do and technology review that we do on the Chris Voss Show.
Do you get the iPhone early?
The iPhone, I used to get the iPhone pretty regularly when I lived in LA because I was there close by where I could pick one up off the PR firm. But since moving to Vegas, they won't mail them to me anymore. They only send the Samsungs and the other phones from AT&T. Apple has a really tight constriction on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they know I don't like them, so there's that.
What? Okay, well, I am an Apple geek. I love
Well, that's okay.
Apple.
I mean, I do have to be nice to Apple because they deliver most of my podcasts, so.
There you go. Yeah, you better be nice.
But I'm a Samsung person. I love my Samsung Notes and my S9s. Ooh. But Apple makes a great product. I've been loving the new 3D thing that I've seen on Facebook.
The Face ID?
That iPhones can do.
The Face ID?
No, there's something the new iPhones can do on Facebook where they can make a 3D photo.
Oh, yeah, the Memojis and the Animojis. Yeah.
Oh, they're cool.
Yeah, they're really cool.
I've been like, maybe I should buy an iPhone.
Exactly. That's really cool. Exactly. You can't do it without one.
Yeah. So I would say for anyone who's new, get on social media and just start talking. I mean, that's really all I did was start talking about stuff. And then I kind of feeling around and farting around, I kind of found what my audience was kind of like wanting to tune in for.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of adjusted my message a little bit. And went after that.
With your consulting agency, are there specific things that you keep seeing entrepreneurs run into, like the same issue or similar issues all the time?
The one thing I've always seen for all the years that I've been in business, the biggest mistake I've seen entrepreneurs to do is they start out with a model and they run that model into the damn ground. And that's, to me, that's why 99% of them fail.
Mm.
And so they don't think about changing the model that they built, the business model that they espoused in their mission or, you know, whatever they decide they were going to do. They don't change from that until they're broken out of money and pretty much bankrupt. And by then, there's no way.
It's too late.
Too late to change. And so you've got to be constantly adapting. You've got to, you know, it's that old adage. I don't know who said it, but you know, if you're a ship going from one shore to another, there's going to be a lot of zigs and zags. It's not a straight line. You've got to constantly be questioning what you're doing, doing what I used to call the crazy Ivan, where we would turn around and look around. It's from that movie, the Red October. And it's where you basically turn around and go, why are we doing things this way? And is there a better way? And you've got to keep adjusting that model and tweaking it and trying to find what works. And then once you find something that works, you got to sit and toy with it some more to get it to work better. You know, sometimes you can squeeze profit out of something, but you go, how do we squeeze even more profit out of something? And how do we really expose this? You know, a long time ago, I learned that basically building a company or being successful is you take a widget, you build it, you sell it. And if people love it, you just figure out how to make more widgets and make them better, of course, as it is. You know, does anybody really need, you know, I grew up in the age of paperclips. Now you go to, the paperclip store and they have like sprinkles on them and painted lines and crap. And like with somebody who was like, I really can't use a paperclip unless there's a striped line on it.
I like my paperclips pink.
Yeah. I think one of the most brilliant things I ever saw was this gal who made, she took tools that you can get like Home Depot, you know, the drills and all those things that are really guyish.
Yeah.
And she made them for females and she made them pink and she made them, you know, just a little bit more have that sort of appeal to females. And, you know, she's selling the crap out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What a brilliant idea. And so, you know, there's the one thing I learned a long time ago is and if you want, write this down. There's a way to improve everything always. There's always a way to improve. I mean, if you're the paperclip guy and you make a paperclip and you go, okay, that's done, man. There's no way we can improve on that. Nope, there is. Somebody can put paint on it, right? Somebody can put stripes on it. Somebody can paint it pink. You know, there's a million different things. And sometimes doing that too is finding new markets. Like the NFL really want to develop more women coming to their stadiums. So they, you know, they started doing the Komen charity thing where they had the NFL players wear pink shoes and then you auction them off afterwards. And, you know, things like that. Women come into the game and go, oh, I know what's, there's whole different avenues or marketplace you can open by innovating your own products. And you've got to, what's the old term? You've got to eat your own lunch.
Yeah. Like, oh,
what,
yeah.
Kind of like what Apple did with the iPad. Mm-hmm. They realized that when they created the iPad, they were going to be cannibalizing their Mac sales. Mm-hmm. But either they came out with it or Microsoft.
Or someone else would. Exactly.
So sometimes you've got to cannibalize your own product. You've got to look at your product and go, what sucks about this? How can we make it better? And that's the real challenge.
Cool. Well, hey, thank you so much for being on our show. Where can people find out more about you?
They can go to thechrisvossshow.com. They can find our podcast on iTunes or Google Play or Spotify. And they can find me anywhere pretty much on the internet at Chris Voss. I own the at Chris Voss everywhere pretty much.
Amazing. This has been so much fun. Thank you for joining us today. And
thank you for having me.
Yeah.
They can see me at Spearmint Rhinos too, male stripping.
We'll make sure that's in the show notes. Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends, just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off. Sell or Die Hards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.